is like a river with no end.
It overwhelms me, covers my sin. Each time I come into your presence, I stand in wonder once again.
Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery. Each day still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me.
O patient Savior, you make me whole. You are the author and the healer.
Still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me. It's deeper, it's wider, it's stronger, it's higher, it's deeper, it's wider, it's stronger, it's higher. Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees, 'cause your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me.
As we think about fans here, we have Notre Dame, and all the fans are excited today. They are winning. Michigan. And so I don't know what to say there, but this don't get spiritual. Notice this lady right here in the blue here. She does not, she's just a fun person. She's just been there because I'm having a fun time. She doesn't have a Notre Dame statement anywhere. She doesn't have a shirt that says Notre Dame. She doesn't have a button that says Notre Dame. She's just, I'm having a fun time being here, okay? She's not much of a fan, huh? Okay, now see this guy down below here? He's just sitting there. He says, I'm fond of Notre Dame. He has a green shirt on, but he's sitting, and he wishes everybody else would sit down so he could see. You know, he's just there. He's fond of it. He's fond of it, you know? And the rest of them are fascinated by it, you know? They're fans, but they're not quite there. There's the fun ones and the fond ones and the fascinated, but then there's the following fans. Now these guys are fans. I mean to tell you, push another button, and these are fans, and they are following. They're all out. Look at the guy with the dumb hat, and you see all of that. And but there's another level. Is that right? There's another level called fanatics. Let's see this one. Let's see, fanatics. There it is. Now, those are fanatics. I like the little girl. The fanatics, they are fanatics. You know, when you walk over to Notre Dame, they're all painted, they're all green, and they're crazy, and they're fanatics. And I want you to be a fanatic for God. Let's all turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. We need to be a fanatic for God. This just says, fanatics are marked by excessive enthusiasm and often intense devotion. And then I found this quote. It says, is it possible to be too excited about Jesus? Remember the day you got saved? Remember the week you got saved? Remember the week that you realized you got assurance of salvation? You were really excited. And then sometimes we would talk about it to everybody. And then we cool off, don't we? I do. And we need to have a place where we say, God, I need to get back to being a Jesus fanatic and to be a person that's following and focused, not just, you know, having fun with Jesus or just fond of Jesus or just fascinated by Jesus. I need to be following, I need to be focused, and I need to be fanatical about Jesus. And that's what the Psalm 145 is all about. And I wanted you to catch that. I'm going to ask Andy if he can come up and read Psalm 145, verses 1 to 7.
If you are able to, please stand out of respect with God's word. Be Psalm 145, verses 1 through 7. And it says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Thank you. You may be seated.
Keep your place there in Psalm 145. It is very important to understand all that what's going on in Psalm 145 and to just let it touch you. To be a fanatic is somebody that is just a zealot. They called them in the New Testament, they were zealots. And they were just obsessed with enthusiasm. They were extremes. They were passionate beyond the norm. They were consumed with it. Each of us are fanatic about something. Maybe you're fanatic about your clothes. Maybe you're fanatic about your yard. You ever see a person fanatic about their yard? I have the green guys come to my yard and leave notes on my door that says, your yard is about 95% weeds. And I say, if it's green, it's what? It's all right, baby. It's green. If it's green, you know, some people are fanatic. They get out there and they chop out all the dandelions. I like color. Come on. And it is something there. Fanatics about sports. Fanatics about our hobbies. Fanatics about our cars. We won't go there. Fanatics about music. Fanatics about art. Fanatics about politics. We can. You're a fanatic about something. Is that right? Each of you. Something you grew up where you're fanatical about it. You're just passionate. You'll talk about it. You're quick to talk. You're quick to be enthusiastic. You repeat it. Anybody that'll listen, you talk to them about it. There's nothing wrong with being fanatical in a lot of areas, except it must have its proper limits. Is that right? Jesus should be the top of the list. That's all it says here. You know, he's the one who saved us. He's the one who gives us grace. He's the one who loves us. It should be our main passion. We should be fanatics. We should be ready to talk to anyone about his greatness and his grace and his glory and his goodness. You know, he everywhere we look, we should be able to see things. We just look at it, and everywhere we see is Jesus is God, and we just that's all it is. That's what the book of Psalm and the chapter 45 is all about. David gets excited here in Psalm 86. David is excited about his prayers, and that's called the Psalm of Prayers. He's excited about that. Here in Psalm 145, it is the Psalm of Praise, and it is just there, and it starts. How many of you at the top of your Bible, right under where it says Psalm 145, it says this is a psalm of the praise of David. How many have that? That is in the original Hebrew. That should be put in. That's in the original Hebrew of the verse, and that should be there. Some Bibles leave that out, but that's the title of the whole psalm. This is David's psalm of praise, and it's the highest. It begins all of Psalm 145 all the way to 150. Of all of the praises of David. It's the beginning of that. It's the highest. It's the psalm that is the beauty of it all, the crown jewel of them all. And it is a great psalm. And he states it. And it's the last of the acrostic psalms, that every verse in the book, in chapter 145, begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, in the English, you can't see that and the beauty of it. But it was a very poetic psalm, and it was a very important. And so this is the last one of them. There was eight of them. And so it's very important. And this psalm, with it being an acrostic psalm, is very hard to outline. About every text I have is hard to outline for me. Okay. But this one is more so. This one is hard to outline. It's hard to have a flow. So our outline we have here is just as good as they can get. It's a psalm that it wasn't written in just a flow. This is a psalm that things are repeated a lot. This is not written in a calm, logical fashion. David is obsessed with the greatness of God. And he's just bam, 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 bam. The psalm has each of the verses start with a statement, and then it kind of repeats and accelerates it. Boom, 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 okay? You'll see that in it. And it is neat to realize that he's going crazy about praising God. And that's what I want you to see. Because the main idea of Psalm 145 is, if you are captivated with God as your King and Savior, you will be fanatical about praising Him. You will just go crazy praising Him because He's the one. And this Psalm 145, with its title, David's Psalm of Praise, it is the highest and it is the greatest. And he is just praising God from a heart that's warm and tender and just going crazy about God. Psalm 145. It's our model of praise. It's our personal adoration. David gives it personally. It's his praise. You need to develop your praise to God. Psalm 145, verse 1. Let's all look at it. Let's just read through it here. Remember, this is his crown jewel of praise. And it says, Psalm 145, verse 1, I will extol, exalt thee. What is David here? David is what profession or what is his calling? He is a king. Now, we don't understand king in our day because we don't like kingship. But the king in those days could do anything he wanted to do. He had all power. Is that right? He had all power. For David to say, God is my king. It's a big statement. Okay, don't let that go lightly. Where he says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, my King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Here, royalty was giving loyalty. Here, majesty, he was the magistrate, and he was giving majesty to God. The tense here is that he gave praise before, he's still giving praise, and he will continue to what? Give praise. And that's very important there that we understand. The word bless is a bigger word, is a more personal word. He says, I will extol him, exalt him, lift him up, and I will bless him. Bless is a deeper, sweeter term, more personal affection, and he will bless him. He will exalt him. He will bless him. And then it says forever, and then it adds what? And ever. You know, he's just not repeating there. He is making, there is no end, and when he adds the forever, it is just, it is forbidden to the idea to close. He's going to praise and exalt God all day long, all life long. And let me tell you, when we get to heaven, that's what we're going to do. We're going to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because he's the Almighty. And we realize that, wow, I'm going to praise you, my God. Remember when Thomas got saved there at the end of the book of John, in John chapter 20, verse 28, he said, my Lord and my God. That's what David. David is just overwhelmed. You know, David has seen him kill the bear and kill the lion and kill the giant. Is that right? David knew your God. David knew that he gave him forgiveness. He gave him the kingdom. He realized that God did it. Saul was bigger. I was shorter. You know, God did it. I was the least of my father's household, and he should have picked all my brothers, but I was the end of the bunch, and he picked me. So he realized, God, you're great. I'm nothing. You're everything. And you're my God, and to know you is to have life, and life is joy and peace, and it's greatness there. Romans chapter 11, verse 33, it says, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are your judgments and unfathomable your ways. And you're sitting there, you're great, God, you're great. Verse 1, that's only verse 1. I got 20 verses to go. Verse 2. Verse 1 said, I will do it forever. Verse 2 says what? Every day. Getting right down to where you live. Every day I will bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. He repeats it again. Every day, forever. Every day, forever. I will praise your name. I will bless your name. And verse 3, it says, great is the Lord. That's where we get the theme of these first 7 verses. Note 3 times mentioned in this verse. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. And it's just, my, this is amazing here. No matter what the character of the day or circumstances of the day or the conditions of the day, be them good or bad, I'm going to praise God. That's just what he says. And he is great, you know. Great praise to a great God. And it's never too loud or too large or too lofty. It's to God. And his deserved praise is still above and beyond all that we can render him. Verse 4, one generation shall praise thy works, his creation, to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. Now, I want you to stop there a second and realize that it is our job to put it from generation to generation. Is that right? It was my parents' job and their grandparents to put it to my parents, and my parents to me, and me to my children and my grandchildren. Is that right? That's the way it goes. That's my job. It's your job. It's our job. We must. Let me state this. This psalm is on praise. It's one thing to pray with your kids. That's really good. Really good. Your kids will respect that. It's one thing to read your Bible to your kids. That's very good. Very good. It's one thing to tell the stories of the Bible. It's one thing to bring your kids to church. Is that right? Sunday school teachers, Wednesday night teachers, junior church teachers. Is that right? It's all good. It's all good. It's another thing to have service, to do ministries in the church, outside the church, to church kids, to non-church kids. Is that right? Ministries. Very important. Do you know the number one thing that will make certain that truth of Jesus and the love of Jesus and the loyalty to Jesus and obedience to Jesus gets transferred from one generation to another is that you love Him and you praise Him and you exalt Him and you bless Him. Because that which you get excited about, your kids will emulate. Huh? You can read it to them. That's what the Bible says. You can pray. But if you're not excited about it, if you're not a fanatic, you know, when I go to Notre Dame, my son took me 2 weeks ago, and I wasn't paid for it, but he paid for it. I don't have a shirt that says Notre Dame. So I didn't care what it wore, okay? He had shirts on and hats on and everything on. And I was sitting there going, I had my Jesus hat on. I got 5 compliments on my Jesus hat just walking through the campus. And I try to wear my Jesus hat when I go someplace, okay? And do your kids and grandkids and great-grandkids know that you're excited about Jesus? There, that's it. You can preach to them. You can pray with them. You can bring them to church. But if you're not excited about Jesus, what does Grandpa talk about all the time? What does Grandma talk about all the time? All y'all talk about is Jesus. You're excited. You're thrilled. If you want your faith, the true faith in Jesus, the truth, to be transmitted to the next generation, you got to have a life of praise and blessing and exalting and getting excited about God and enthusiastic about God and talking about God. And when something happens in life, you relate it to God. And when something happens terrible, you're praying to God. And when things are having fun, you're seeing God in nature. You know, just everywhere you go, you're talking to God, or God's talking to you. It's, you're a God person. You're a God life. You're a follower of Him. You're focused on Him. You're fanatical about Him. Now, all of us are going to be different fanatical about it, okay? I don't think you need to dress up and have Jesus hat on or have bumper stickers covering your whole car saying Jesus is this. But I think it's good that people know that we're Christians. Where you work, where you play, whether you do sports, whether you're doing anything. But the greatest thing that will keep your kids following the faith of Jesus is that you love Him and are excited about living for Him. You're excited about it. It just flows out of you. It's just not a set time. Okay, it's time to pray. It's time to read the Bible. We read the Bible. And then you don't think about it the rest of the day. No, it obsesses you. It just consumes you. It's what it's all about. One generation, verse 4, shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. You can't get away with it. How God has done stuff in your life. I just think about how God called my family, my mom and dad into His work, saved them, how God called Ronald Lee and I into the work, how God called my 2 boys into the work. It's miraculous. And I could talk about it all day. And it's tremendous. And wow, God did that. How He uses Krista and all that. Wow. Huh? That's my kids and my grandkids. And I want my grandkids to know that it's all about Jesus. Is that right? It's all about Jesus. And we got to transmit it. One generation praise it to another. Verse 5. I could stay on verse 4 all morning. Verse 5, it says, I will speak. The word is meditate. Many other translations use the word meditate. Of the glorious honor, the splendor of thy majesty. Now, he's a king. Now, catch all these kingly words. He's majestic. No, but God's higher. Of thy wondrous works, all thy miracles. And men, remembers everybody. Every tongue shall speak of the mighty and of thy of the might of thy terror, terrible acts. The word terrible in other translations is what? Awesome. That is not terrible. I've read some commentators, and they'll talk about the terrible acts of God. You know, and he comes down on sinners and do this. The word doesn't mean terrible as you and I think terrible. The word has changed since King James Day. The word has changed. It used to mean the awesome, and they called it the terrible acts of God, that he is just awesome and all powerful. They weren't the bad acts. See, we take that modern thinking and put it into the old King James word meant awesome. And when they read it, they realized he's terrible. It wasn't that he's to be afraid of. He is all powerful. And that's what the word means. And it is something that says, they speak of them, and I will declare thy greatness. Verse 7, it says, they shall abundantly. I love this word. It means eagerly. It means bubble over. You know, you're just bubbling. You just love whatever you're a fanatic of, and you're just bubbling with it. That's what the word means. Utter your abundantly utter the memory. You'll share the story, the fame of thy great goodness, and shall sing. And this word has a loud and joyful of thy righteousness. You're going to be loud. You're going to be shouting. You're going to be talking about it. You're excited about it. And David is shouting, is singing, is joyful, is loud. Verse 8, he goes into the graciousness of God. We need to be fanatics because of his grace is wonderful. Verse 8, it says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, merciful, slow to anger, and of great mercy, of unfailing love. Is that your God? Aren't you glad that he is not willing that any should perish, so he is patient? Is that right? Slow to anger. He's not quick. And that's what it's all about. That your God, this is your God. One of the greatest descriptions of God. That he's gracious, that he's compassionate, that he's merciful, that he's slow to anger. He does get angry. He will send you to hell. But he's slow to do it. And of great mercy, of unfailing love. That's my God. And he describes it and he says, this God is just full of grace. Verse 9, it says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works, all of creation. And it's just wonderful. You know, he sends the sunshine on everybody, the rain on everybody, and it is just wonderful to catch that. And then thirdly here, he's glorious. His glory, verse 10. All thy works, this is all of his creation, shall praise thee. I trust as we see all the color of fall. Is it happening? The color of fall. I trust when you see the oranges and the browns and all of the reds and all of the different shades of green and yellow, huh? That you realize God must be very beautiful. And he is a God of color. And he's a God of majesty. He's a God of beauty. And here he says, all of this, all thy works praise you. Just go around and say, thank you, thank you. And you see all of the creation. You say, thank you, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They'll see all your works and bless thee. They, the saints and the works, shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. There's verbally going on. And they're seeing things. And when you see everything you look at, you're finding God in it. And you're saying to me, God is good. And thy glory and thy kingdom, thy rulership. And here's a king talking. Catch this. He's talking about majesty, and he's talking about being the king. And he talks about Jesus being the king and Jesus' kingdom. Verse 12. to make known to the sons of men his mighty works and his glorious majesty of his kingdom. Here it is, to make known. We're to make known to our own generation, to our children. We're to make known to the people around us. Is that right? God puts you on this earth, and you're with a group of people at your work, at your business, at play, at school, at different functions. Is that right? Those are your people. And you are to share Jesus with them. And it should just be bubbling. It should just be flowing. It should be something that you can't keep quiet. You're fascinated by it. And it's awesome all around you. And you're making it known. Verse 13, Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth through all generations. Here's the all generations again, that we know it and we feel it. And it is wonderful, and it's a part of us, and we project it to all people. Very important. Verse 13, Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. That is one of the themes of the whole psalm. Thy dominion endureth through all generations. Verse 14 starts a new thought here of all of the activity of the goodness given by God. He's a good giver. Verse 14, the Lord upholdeth all that fall. Hear, God of the Almighty, does He see everyone that struggles and falls? Aren't you glad? He's high and lifted up, but He notices anybody who's fallen. And it is fallen or falling. You have fallen, or you are in the process of falling. He upholds you. He's going to lift you and raises up all those who are bowed down, that are bent beneath their loads, that are overloaded, are discouraged, struggling. Is that right? He knows, and He can lift you up. He's all near you. His goodness, He's a good giver. So note that. Don't stay down. Get up. Verse 15, the eyes of all, the whole earth, wait. That has a thought of looks for, hopes for, okay? Hopes upon Thee. Thou givest them their meat in due season. Does God give us everything we need? In the right season? Isn't it neat to think about the seasons and the growth season, the harvest season, the plant season? God has it all. He's the giver of all, and He's the good giver, and we wait on Him. We can't, we look to Him, we hope in Him. We can't do it. He's got to do it. Does He have to grow the stuff? Sunshine and rain, He's got to grow it. We can't grow it. Verse 16, Thou openest Thy hand and satisfieth the desires of every living thing. It's a cool verse here. Whatever He has given in us that we desire, He will also gratify it. He gives us a desire, and then He meets that desire. And He is God. And even as we fell in the sin with Adam and Eve, and He made a Savior, okay? And that's the highest of them all. And it is wonderful. And it says, verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all His ways, and holy, kind in all of His works. Note all the word alls here in this lax section, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. There's all. Is God a God that covers everything? If you have a need, does God meet your need? All needs. And then it says, verse 18, the Lord is what? The Lord is what? Near. He is right here. He is near. Do you believe that? Sometimes we sense that He's far away. Is that right? I'm having troubles, and where are You, God? You know, Barney had a flat tire this morning. Where are you, Barney? Had a flat tire this morning. How many people did you get witness to after you quit complaining about having your flat tire? Three. Amen. Okay. We have to gripe and complain. What, you know, we're human. Come on. And but God's here, and it says He's near. So wherever you are, and whatever trouble you're in, He's not far away. He's near. He's just a prayer away. Is that right? And He's near. Don't forget that the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. And then a recall of that, to all that call upon Him in what? Truth. I like that. Verse 19, He will fulfill the desire of them that what? He will fulfill the desire of him that
fear.
He will fulfill the desire of him that
fear.
Do you fear him? Respect him, honor him, obey him, know him. I better get to know him, because to be on the wrong side of God is hell, huh? And to be on the right side of God is heaven. And so love and fear comes real close. And it says, he fulfills the desire of all them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Verse 20, the Lord preserveth all them that, what? Love him. So we have those that fear him and those that love him. Very close to love and fear. You can't love God without fearing God, and you can't truthfully love God or fear God without loving him. And it's very important there. And note this, verse 20 in the second part. But all the wicked will be, what? Is justice going to happen to all wicked people? Yes. God has given them all ways to repent. Repent, repent, or perish, repent. But it says, David knew that God was a just God, a fair God. But all the wicked will he destroy. Verse 21, and I close. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. This is a summary of everything. I'm going to speak. I'm just overjoyed. The greatness of God, the grace of God, the glory of God, the goodness of God just overwhelms me. And I got to tell everybody about it. Everybody about it. I got to tell them, let all flesh bless his holy name forever and what? Ever. Today and for all eternity, all of his character, all of his creation, all of his companion, his compassion, I'm going to talk about it all the time, and I'm not going to quit talking about it, because only holy hearts will praise a holy name of God. And all other topics don't compare to God's topic. And we can't keep silent. Is that what it says? We can't keep silent, because it is so, so important. Just quickly here, all the things here. Let's go back to number one. Back to number one. Back to two of them. Boom, boom, boom. Back there. There. All of them, just look at this. They will exalt God. These are the characteristics of fanatics, God, Jesus fanatics. They will exalt his name, and they will do it continually. They are captivated by his greatness. They electrify the next generation. They transmit it. They meditate on him. They are convinced. They're bubbling over. Number seven there. And let's put the next one up. And it says, they are thrilled. They are rejoicing. They are touched. They are confident. They're sure. Is that right? These are people that are fanatical about God. They've experienced answered prayer. They're fully loving and fearing God. They're desire and satisfied in God. They know that God will judge the wicked. They are devoted to praising God. This is the ones. And it's so important. Turn to the last one there. This is where I want to end. In Mark chapter 4, verse 13 to 20, there's the parable of the sower. And the first one goes, and the first one of the sowers, he does it by the wayside. It's just, you know, I'm having some fun with Jesus, and doesn't last too long. The second one is on the stony ground. He's fond of Jesus, and it lasts a little longer, but slips away. And then verse 18 and 19, it's on the thorny, it's among thorns. He's fascinated with Jesus and last a little longer. And then in verse 20, it talks about the ones that are following Jesus, some 30, is that right? Some 60 and some 100. And those that are 30, they're following Jesus. Those that are 60 are focused on Jesus. And those that are 100 full are, you know, I'm a Jesus fanatic. Where are you? Where are you? Psalm 145, David is a God fanatic. Praising God. It's happened to him, and he can't shut up, and he's got to talk about it. He's got to sing about it. He's got to talk about it to everybody. He's thrilled about it. And if anybody will listen, he'll talk about it. The greatness of God, the grace of God, the glory of God, the goodness of God. Let me tell you. Psalm 145. God is awesome. Amen. Hope you know that. And you get to a place, we have people today that are in church that, you know, I'm just having some fun with Jesus, or I'm fond of Jesus, or I'm fascinated by Jesus. Those three parts in the parable were lost. They didn't make it. You have to become a follower of Jesus, like Nicodemus. And then you go a little farther and you're focused on Jesus. Did Peter learn that? And then a fanatic by Jesus, Paul, a fanatic, changed. He just couldn't shut up. Where are you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Where are you? Where are you? Psalm 145. Become a raving fanatic, God fanatic. All out. All of us will be different in our fanaticism. Some of us can talk more than others. Some of us can do things. Some of us can love more by our actions. Each of us will show our fanaticism in a different way. Don't compete and compare, please. But you should consider yourself not just I'm having fun with Jesus, or I'm fond of Jesus, or I'm fascinated by Jesus. No, you're a follower. Have you become a follower of Jesus? Have you taken Jesus as your personal Savior? He's my Savior. I'm following Him. I'm obeying Him. I'm loving Him. I'm listening to Him. I'm following Jesus. Are you sure you're saved here this morning? Number one. Number two, if you're sure you're saved, are you focused on Him? You're just not having fun with Him, or fond of Him, or fascinated by Him. You're really focused. You're thinking about Him. And you're on the way to working at being a fanatic. You'll be bouncing back between being focused and a fanatic. It's all right. But your goal is to be a fanatic. Open your big mouth and talk to people. Love people. Listen to people. Take time for people. Care for people. Your goal is somehow to talk to them about Jesus. Show them Jesus. You might not get there all the time, but that's your goal. You're focused and you're a fanatic. Preacher, I need to be more focused to become a fanatic. Pray for me. I trust every one of us are there. That's why we're here today. David was a fanatic, a God fanatic. Psalm 145. Couldn't keep quiet. Every head bowed, every eye closed, where are you today? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm following Jesus. I'm not sure I repented of my sins and trust Jesus as my Savior. Pray for me. Can I pray for you? Anybody? Raise your hand, let me pray with you. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I don't want to go to hell. And I'm not sure I'm on the way to heaven. Pray for me. Can I pray for you? Put your hand up. Put your hand up if that's what you are. I pray for you. Keep your hand up. Any others? If you would like for me to take somebody, man with man, woman with woman, and get you and talk with you right now how you can know for sure you're saved, if you'd like me to make that happen, I'll make it happen right here with everybody's head bowed, everybody's closed, just you and me. If you'd like for me to make that happen, look up at me and I'll make that happen. If not, keep your head bowed. You're a follower of Jesus. You're more than just having fun or being fond of or being fascinated. You're a follower. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a Christian. But you need to move up into being focused and fanatical. Preacher, pray for me that I get to being focused and fanatical about Jesus in my daily walk. Help me. Let me pray with you. Anybody? 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 Everybody? Everybody? My hands up. Everybody. Focused to becoming fanatical about Jesus. Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone here that they realize that God wants us to just be all out. consumed with His greatness, with His grace, with His glory, and with His goodness, that we just see it all over the place, get excited about it, and talk about it. Lord, get us to being followers that are focused and fanatical about Jesus as our Savior, Lord, and Master. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.